You're with Virginia on ABC Radio Melbourne.
We're recognising some incredibly brave Victorians this morning because the Bravery Awards were handed out yesterday. And one of those who's a recipient is Natalie Jane Dearden of Apsley in Victoria. She displayed considerable bravery during the rescue of a woman and a young child from a burning vehicle near Edenhope back in 2015. And she joins you now, Natalie Dearden. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Can you tell us what happened when you were travelling near Edenhope back in October 2015?
Oh, well, I was travelling into football training because I'm a trainer at the football club here, local football club. And, yeah, could see something strange up the road and thought, oh, that's a bit weird. Someone's pulled over and then got up a bit further and went, oh, geez, there's a car on its side. So, consequently, just parked the car, put the hazard lights on and being first on the scene, just ran to it because I could see there was, you know, smoke coming out the front.
There was smoke coming out of the car?
Only slight smoke. It was only small wisp there.
Yep.
And, yeah, so straight away went to the driver's side door. Well, of course, with the car on its side, it was that side, the driver's side was on the ground, and spoke to the driver who was, you know, in shock and conscious, but very shocked and worried. Anyway, as I looked in the car, I could see a child seat in the back, and being a mother myself, I straight away thought, God, there's kids in here. And I just said to her, is there anyone else in the car? And she said, oh, my daughter. And I'm thinking, oh, no. And I couldn't see her daughter.
You couldn't see her daughter?
So anyway, yeah, I climbed on the car and in through a back window because it was a SUV that had smashed up on top, and climbed in there and got her daughter to come to me calmly as possibly.
So it was her daughter out of her seat?
Yes, she was out of her seat. She had been strapped in,
yeah,
but she had got out.
Wow.
And anyway...
How was the daughter? What state was she in?
Well, she was very scared, like her car rolling and... Like, they didn't realise the car was on fire and I wasn't going to tell them because it just causes panic in someone.
I just want to stop you for a second. Were you worried about you, given that the car was on fire?
No, not at that stage.
Okay. Was it difficult to persuade the little girl to come to you?
No. As I said, I'm a trainer in football,
yep,
and even though I'm a bit rough around the edges, which I am, as most people who know me, in some circumstances you just go to that motherly... quiet nature.
Yep.
And, anyway, got her to come to me and another person came along and I passed her up through the window because I couldn't lift her physically right out of the car and he got her or we're out back through the back door. I'm not sure what we did there. Anyway, we got her out and I said to the young boy there, I said, look, take her up to that car up the end, up there. There's a young girl on, she was ringing 000. And anyway, then straight back to the car, obviously. And I just said, look, just keep her occupied and don't let her look this way. Whatever you do, please don't. And so, yeah, frantically, ran straight back to the car.
And what state was the car in by now?
Well, there was more smoke.
could you see flames?
No, there was no.
Okay.
No, but you could see that, when you look forward, there was smoke.
You would have been starting to get worried about that by now.
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
So, consequently, I ended up, yelling out for a fire extinguisher because I looked one way towards Edenhope and there was people, and I hate this now, videoing with their phones. I hate mobile phones. I don't even carry mine.
There were people standing there videoing.
Yes, and I was sort of looking at it going, God, if we could have half of you down here, we'd be, have this car up. But anyway, that things happen. Some people are spectators, some people aren't. It just depends on situations.
Yep, that's a fair observation. So was anyone coming in to help you at this stage?
Not really, but then when I turned back towards the Apsley way, I looked and here come this big, tall truck driver with a pipe that, the truck drivers have pipes and they hit their wheels to check, that they got air in them?
Yep.
And he was walking up the road, not really walking, but coming up the road quite quickly towards me and I sort of... jumped down and ran towards him and I just looked at him and I said, you're a lifesaver. And when he rocked up, I said, just smash the sunroof. We've got to get her out. We've got to get her out and we've got to get her out now. And he smashed the sunroof and her feet were trapped in underneath the pedals. And consequently, we couldn't get her up and out through the sunroof, which was, you know, literally at waist height. So, and I was yakking to him the other day for another interview, and him and I both said the same thing. We don't remember how we got the car up enough, but we obviously got it up.
What do you mean got it up? You mean you rolled it back?
Well, the clearance from the ground to her top of her driver's side door, we wouldn't have got her out of there.
Right.
So we don't know whether we put the pipe under there again and wedged it up. We don't remember. By this stage, adrenaline was pretty well flowing. And, yeah, we grabbed her arms and just heaved her, like just physically pulled her out.
You smashed that side window in the end,
did
you?
No, that was already smashed.
Okay, yeah.
Because it was on the side. That side was down on the ground.
Right, yep.
And told her to kick with, just push with your feet, with all your might. So he had one arm, I had the other. I still feel sorry for her because, like, yeah, it would have hurt. And, yeah, we just physically, literally ripped her out of the car.
And now, is the car in flames by now?
No, well, it didn't really go up, what do you say, there wasn't a lot of flames, there was smoke.
Yep.
And as we were walking away, she was sort of slowly dawdling, and we sort of looked at each other and we sort of got a bit of a hurry on. And it was when we got her back to the car where her daughter was, that's when the car went up.
The car went up?
Yes.
What, blew
up? Kaboom. Absolute kaboom.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. So because the fire brigades out here are all volunteers, and it takes a while for volunteers to come in off farms to man the trucks to get to the incidents. The ambulance, I think, had turned up not quite then. A police officer, she turned up later.
Paul, you can really tell a story, Natalie.
Oh, I remember it every day.
Do you think of it every day, do you?
No, well, not every day. The little girl and her mother live the other side of Eden Hope. I don't actually know them, but they go to school with my son.
Oh, wow.
So I get to see her achievements in the paper and in the newsletters for the school. And so, yeah, you sort of stand back and it's a little trigger, but just that she's achieving things and she's alive and, yeah.
And what about you and her mum? Have you two managed to sit and have a chat?
No, I don't approach it because, like, people with mental, it affects people in different ways.
Of course.
And so rather than approach it, she did write me a letter thanking me, which was really nice. And I wrote back and she said, is there anything you would like or, I owe you. And I just said, I would like to see either her wedding or her debut when she's older.
Oh, my goodness.
If I'm alive, with what's going on at the moment.
Natalie, don't do that to us. You just reduced us all to tears now.
Sorry. But it is scary with what's going on. You've got to look at things like this and say, life is precious. You don't know when you're going to go. You don't know. And life's precious, family's precious. What was that
moment like when all of you were standing there around the side of the road, the car's gone up, but you're all standing there, you've got those two people safely out of the car. What was that moment like?
No, well, it was funny because Tim and I actually started talking, and I know Tim's grandfather
This is the great big bloke with the
pipe. Yeah, the big truck driver with the pipe. Okay. I sort of rang Tim's grandfather a few years ago about breeding a coolie sheepdog. So it's funny how different things connect. So we ended up talking about coolie sheepdogs, but we sort of didn't discuss anything else. We were yak, yak, yak. Where are you from? Yeah. Oh, I'm from there. I'm there. And, Tim said, before he left, he said, we'll have to meet up. And I said, what do you mean? Oh, he said, I said about being in footy, and he was in footy as well, and I just presumed he was out at Taylor's Lake, which is another football side in our football league. And anyway, I found out the other day at the interview for another reporter that, no, I've been looking at him at Taylor's Lake, and he's out in Nanaimuck. So I've been looking at the wrong football club for Tim.
Hey, Natalie, how does it feel to be a recipient of this Bravery Award?
Oh, look, it's very, very humbling. It's nice to have a pat on the back. I never expected it. I really didn't. But it is. It's just humbling and, like, I don't think it's really sunk in even. really.
I hope it sinks in today. I can't tell you the messages and the comments coming in on text about you, Natalie. You've made our day, and you've clearly, quite frankly, made the lives of those two people who you rescued. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And Kate, take care of yourself. You stay well, okay?
Oh, yeah, I've got to go feed my sheep and cows now.
Yeah, well, that'll keep
you. I'm behind schedule. They said stick to a routine, and I'm behind.
Sorry to make you behind. Yeah. Natalie Dearden there, who's the APSLE Bravery Award recipient. APSLE is near the South Australian border. And as she just indicated to you, she's a farmer.